All right, I'm going to tell you up front, okay, right? I was gone last week. Some of you remember that. Some of you are like, hey, welcome back and everything. And I really missed being here last week. I really missed everyone here. I missed the fact, I was sad that I missed all the fellowship that was here. I was sad that I missed the baby shower. I was sad that there were barbecue ribs here and I missed barbecue ribs. Like, I cannot remember when like a bunch of barbecue ribs just showed up at the church. It always has something to do with Holly and Eisen if it happens. And it's two times I remember, once at her wedding and then once for this, and I missed it. But I was it was hard for me to miss that. And I missed that because I was in the Chicago area, actually in Oak Brook. Is anybody familiar with Oak Brook outside of Chicago? Not many. There's a guy. But I would actually describe it as Chicago's more spread out. Right? Things are more spread out there. We're like more tightly compact here. It's kind of like the Bellevue of Chicago, but more spread out. And they have a lot of office parks and hotels and things there. And they have a really fancy mall there, which would remind me of like Bellevue Square or something like that. But there's a hotel there that I was at something with. Now, before I get to that, I'm going to give you a little outline of my message today, right? My message, part one, is I'm just going to share with you, because you're my church family and this has to do with you, kind of why I was gone and what was going on and what that's all about, so you know what's happening. Some people don't really understand it. And I want to tell you, it sounds a lot bigger and more important than it is. And in another way, it's the most important thing in all the world, right? Right? Amen? No, you don't know. You don't know. You can't say amen to that. You don't know. And then the second part is I'm going to preach from some scripture kind of related to this. And I'm going to try to keep it very simple today. That's my goal. We've already had such a lot of great things happening today. I don't want to like overwhelm you with just lots of information. So just keep in mind, first part is about last week. Second part, I'll share from scripture. Before I get too far into it, because I knew I was missing the ribs, which I did hear about, I did have to make a stop on the way in for deep dish Chicago pizza. And it was about this big and about this thick and really two grown men with big appetites could have shared that and they'd be fine. All right? You would not walk away hungry, okay? So I did do that, and praise the Lord, it didn't slow me down too much for the week. Now, I want to start this initial sharing time by either telling you or reminding you that our church that we are part of right here is a Village Missions church. We don't talk about Village Missions a whole bunch. Probably should talk about it more because we're part of something. Village Missions is a ministry that sends pastors to churches in rural North America. They specialize in being part of towns where there's really like one gospel preaching church in that town. And so we're a part of that ministry. Now, a long time ago, this area that we live in was a lot more rural than it is now. I kind of laugh at the idea of that this is rural now. This doesn't feel very rural to me anymore. Now, if you live really like downtown Seattle or something like that, you still think a bit about this as being like out in the sticks or something like that. But I feel like right now, the place that we live, like the number one thing I see going on is I see like a lot of growth. I see a lot of warehouses being built, right? But with that, I see a lot of trucks coming in and out. There's a lot of jobs. There's a lot of houses. There's a lot of growth here. And this area that we live in is quite different than what it was before. So it's not so rural as it once was. But so we are a Village Missions church. And so part of what we do is when you guys give offering to us, 10% of that we'll give back to Village Missions to help some other small rural churches to have a pastor. And most of the time, almost like 99% of the time, when those rural churches have a pastor, they get a pastor's wife that comes along too. Like Hannah, like for like us, right? So basically, Hannah does half the work, I get all the pay. And actually probably does more than half the work. Now, she gets paid to do her preschool and all that kind of stuff, but basically, like, you're getting, a lot of times, you're getting a team. You're getting a duo there, you know, that does it. That's kind of typically. There are a couple pastors that aren't married or that wives have died or something like that that are in it, but that's pretty normal. Now, the motto of Village Missions, actually, first, raise your hand if you know the motto of Village Missions. Because I'm going to call on you. If you have your hand up, I might call on you. Okay? All right, we have a couple people. There's a young lady right there. She knows the motto of Village Missions. Yeah, you got it. I was nervous. That's not. By the way, that's my sister right there. I was hoping that she would get it. Didn't let the family down. Now, usually I say, that's my older sister, my big sister right there, and she gets mad at me when I say that, so I'm not saying that anymore. So, the motto is, preach the word. Preach the word of God. And while you're doing it, love the people. Amen. I like that. I could buy into that, right? And I have bought into that. And I'm actually very thankful to be part of Village Mission. It's a very humble organization, really. You know, it's not like a flashy type of a thing, you know. And it's not about flashy places or whatever. It's really about going to the place where there's a need, you know, where no one else is going, right? And a lot of times the rural areas in North America are pretty forgotten. So the reason I was gone starts with Village Missions, because I'm part of Village Missions, and Hannah, we are together. And then sometimes, like, this has been happening to me more and more, they keep asking me to do stuff. I just want to be here with you guys, and they're like, hey, will you do this? I don't know if you remember last year, I went to New York, and I spoke at the Village Missions conference there. They asked me to do that. And then this past year, what they asked me to do was to join an evangelism cohort through Wheaton College, Billy Graham. It's hard for me to string together, and I have it in my notes here, but the Billy Graham Evangelism Center at Wheaton College, to be a part of that. And they partnered with them, and they both received some support. Village Missions and Wheaton has received support to kind of make some investments in rural North America and to do something. And what they do in that center is they focus on evangelism. And if you don't know what evangelism is basically sharing the gospel with the lost and trying to share gospel, offer them to have a relationship with the Lord, win people to Christ, you know, that kind of idea. Take the good news out to the world that needs it. Amen? Amen. So I took part in that this year. And for me, what that was, I was trying to figure it out the whole year, actually. Like, what is this? Why am I doing this? What's happening here, you know? But I was meeting with a bunch of pastors, and I was one of the pastors. I wasn't leading this. I was pulled part of the cohort. But it's a bunch of pastors from rural churches, most of them far more rural than we are here, you know. And I was wondering, like, what? I don't feel that rural, but, you know, I'm in a rural organization. So, you know, that's what I'm doing. So some of these pastors and churches are little small towns way out in the middle of farm fields, ranching communities or whatever. Not all of them are Village Missions. Probably about 30% of them were Village Missions churches, and we're doing that together. And so I did it. I took part in that. And then this last week, I went to meet face-to-face with the group that I had been in the cohort with. And then as part of that, they invited me, the Wheaton College and stuff, invited me, and I think Village Missions is included in this, to come back next year and to help coach one of those groups. So to meet with other pastors and do this. And so I'm going to be able to do that. So I'm doing both. So I'm getting a little bit more involved with these. But I want you to know I'm doing it because Village Missions has asked me to do it. And Village Missions is going to put other pastors through it. And so I think the pastors that I'll be working with, I expect them to be Village Missions pastors. So to have that relationship and to do that. For me, the question about this whole thing, or maybe there's two here. First one is, how can we improve the gospel outreach in our Village Missions churches? So how can we take the name of Jesus and share the name of Jesus and offer Christ and offer salvation? How can we be more effective at that in our Village Missions churches? You ready for the second question? Are you really ready? You with me? Hope you're tracking. How can we improve the gospel outreach of Elk Plain Community Church? So how can we do it at Elk Plain Community Church? How can we be more focused on this? How can we remember more that this is what we do, and how can we be effective at it? Now, I have a couple of my own, like, commentary thoughts on this. But first thing I'd like to say is, we can't do it. We can't do it. But God can. Like, we can't reach anyone on our own. We can't convince anybody. We can't share the message in an interesting enough way, in a smart enough way, in a convicting enough way, that without the work of the Holy Spirit, that anyone will come to faith. We can't do it, but God can. Amen? Amen. So any effort that we put together needs to be dependent on Him and completely dependent on Him, like anything that we do. But to try to share people what they need to know about how to have a relationship with Jesus and have them actually come, that's going to take God to do that. We can't do that on our own. But when I was going through this year, like, I was blown away with, like, wait a second. Everything we're talking about is so simple, and it's all stuff I've heard before. There's nothing really all that new here. It's all quite simple. It's just, and this is about how to share our faith, how to do that. It's all real simple. I expected something more complicated, but I think that's not it. The question is, will we do it? Will we do it? And if we do it, I think this is what I was hearing from the Lord through, like, just wrestling with this whole last year, is that if we do it, God will honor it and God will meet us in that, and that we will meet people that need to hear the gospel, and we will bring them in. God will bring them into a relationship with Him, and people will get saved because we decide to emphasize this in our church. Amen? Amen. Now, how many of you are glad you came here today? Yeah. All right, you getting energized? Yeah. Well, if you're not, okay, that might be between you and the Lord. All right, but I think that we're probably not ever going to get the message, like, perfectly right, deliver it right. It's just that willingness to go and share the gospel with the world that needs it. And I would say that a good part of this would be knowing our own mission as a church, right? We have a mission statement. We say this, you know, this is our mission. Your mission is, like, supposed to keep you focused. This is what you do. This is why we're here. We are not merely here to make friends and eat potlucks and do all that kind of stuff. Amen? Sometimes, you know, people, like the kids, like, they write, like, what they know, what they like about me, you know, at least pastor appreciations and things. You would think from the kids that dodgeball, that was it. Right? Pastor Dodgeball, you know. But it's more than that. I mainly just do that to relieve stress and to build bridges. So we got to know what our mission is. So here's our mission, Elk Plain Community Church. You see this on the website. I think it's on the bulletin. You know, that stuff in the bulletin, it's just there. It's the same, like, all the time, right? It's there so much. It's so common. You can kind of skip over and forget about it. But this is what our mission is, right? And this is the simple statement: empowering people to become devoted disciples of Jesus Christ. So we want to be used by God to have people have a relationship with the Lord, and then to truly be His disciples and to be devoted to Him. Like, they've really given their all to Him. They've completely surrendered their life. They are all in. Amen? That's what we would hope. But the longer statement is this, and there's two parts to it, right? And I'm going to say a word after each one of these parts. The first part is, we are called to reach lost and hurting people in our community and throughout the world with the life-changing gospel of hope that is found only in a vital relationship with Jesus Christ. The one word there is evangelism. That's what that means. We're to go and try to reach the lost with the gospel, and we're to try to see them saved. You know, again, it's in complete dependence on the Lord, but we take that message of the good world to a world and the people around us that need it, and there's no other way that broken lives can be repaired other than through Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So, like, how about this? How many of you here, you just say hallelujah just as loud as you want right now, okay? I'm going to tell you what it is, but if you were just a broken person that's life was healed by the blood of Jesus Christ, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
right? So, like, that's it, man. There's a bunch of people here that have experienced healing in their life and wholeness in their life and forgiveness and the love and grace of God. And so we need to keep taking that out. That's what we say our mission is. We say that. That's our mission, to take that out to a world. That's evangelism, right? And we want to be as effective at that as God wants us to be. Amen?
Amen.
And then the second paragraph says, we will strengthen believers through biblical instruction, worship, fellowship, and prayer, Build them up to maturity in faith, hope, and love. Equip them to serve God effectively and send them out to reach others. And who can tell me what the one word is for that? Discipleship. Discipleship. So that's helping to continue to raise up disciples. Somebody gets saved, you just don't leave them alone at that point, but you help them to continue to grow and walk in the Lord. Teach them how to read their Bible. Teach them how to study their Bible. Teach them how to pray. Teach them how to submit to the Holy Spirit. Teach them how to say no to temptation. Teach them how to not live according to the flesh. Teach them to not take on the wisdom of this world into their minds and think that that's somehow better than what God has to offer, because God has better things to offer. Amen? Amen. And he has the truth and the world has a bunch of lies. So teach people how to live in a world where the lies are constantly attacking the truth. All right, so that's what we want to do. We want to evangelize and make disciples, and that's our mission statement. But it's one thing to have that, but it's another thing to remember that and to put that as a priority and to live that out in your life. Now, everybody has like slightly different parts to this as you do. Also, when we think in terms of Scripture, I think Jesus pretty well laid out this as our mission as well, too, didn't he? In the Great Commission, Matthew 28. 18 through 20, and it said, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" I have a mandate, and you have a mandate. That's to be on this mission and to be on keep on course with it, to go and evangelize and make disciples and baptize new believers. Why? Because that's what Jesus said to do, and to do it in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them and discipling them, teaching them to obey all that he commanded. And then guess what he said? "You're never going to do it alone. I'm going to be with you to the very end of the age." Amen? So when we set out to do that, we always do that with Jesus. He's right there with us. And so that this is all about kind of contextualizing it to like where we are. But this group that I've been meeting with, they have some little tools and things that they use. And again, these are probably things that you've heard of at some point. But they're things that the reason why I'm sharing this with you is I want you to help me with this. But I've been asked to like, hey, buy into this and do this at your church, and we'll do this. And I'm thinking, yeah, we can do this, and this will be good. I don't know how the hierarchy of it fits, because they have these ideas. It almost like they approach it like you're a bigger church than we are. And I'll tell you more about that. But I just want to share with kind of you some of the tools that they have, that they use and they recommend that we use, okay? So first thing is, think of yourself as someone who has a temperature, right? You have a temperature, like you have a physical temperature, right? Like what is your physical temperature? What, 97 degrees or something like that? But what if somebody could measure your temperature for the gospel, for sharing the gospel with other people? What if somebody could measure your temperature? And it was like, either you could do like 1 to 10 or 1 to 100 or however you do that. They can measure your temperature. And if somebody were to ask you, hey, what is your temperature? What is your temperature for sharing the gospel? And you actually had to answer honestly, and you did answer honestly. And if you said, hey, I'm a 10, and then they said, okay, you're a 10. Tell us why you're a 10. Who did you talk to about the Lord? Who did you share your faith with this week? And there's like some accountability. So they have like their one of their tools is to do temperature checks in certain meetings and things that you do. Again, still trying to figure it out, but the idea is there. That you remember what your mission is, you stay on mission and say, hey, what is your temperature? What is your temperature for sharing Jesus with other people? Are you really hot for that, or are you cold? Now, I would be honest with you, in my life, there have been times when I've been really hot for that, and there have been times when I've cooled down considerably. And as a pastor, it's easy to just focus on what's just going on here in your church and to get so comfortable with that and just check out when you go to places outside of the church and to forget to share the gospel with people. Amen? All right, so it's like some being honest with it and honestly assessing yourself and where you are. Okay, I'll just do a little test for you. Like when I said that like my temperature has gone up and down over the years, is there anyone here that can relate to that where you feel like maybe that's the same for you, that your temperature has gone up and down over the years? Okay, so this is like part of it is like I would say that's like that for a lot of things with us. I mean, my temperature for flossing has gone up and down over the years. And they say it's really good for you. I have a problem. Like, I usually start flossing about 2 weeks before I go to the dentist. Right? But we don't want to do that. We want to be consistent. So it's a little bit like that with, sometimes it can be like that with evangelism. We're like, oh, I actually have to share what I did. Did I talk to somebody about Jesus? So, I mean, but the idea is to kind of reach this point in our life where, like, man, we're really open to sharing the gospel with people and doing that. Okay, so temperature checks. I'm going to go through these a little bit quickly. There's this thing called the 1 degree rule. Okay, let's say I say, what's your temperature between 1 and 10? And you said, honestly, I'm a 3. So the question for you is, what can you do to honor God and raise your temperature by 1 degree? What's just one small step forward? Like, I'm not saying jump to a 10. I'm saying, how about maybe if you're a 3, can you take it up to a 4? What can you do that? Like, what choice can you make? What change in your action so that you can do that? Now, by the way, our mission is evangelism and discipleship. This thing that I've been working on is more on the side of just evangelism, right? But they fit together. But what can you do to raise your temperature for evangelism by 1 degree? All right, the other tool that they have is what's called a Francis list. Who here has ever heard of a Francis list? Has anyone heard of a Francis list? Okay, Francis stands for friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, colleagues, enemies, and strangers. I kind of feel like it's a nice way to cover everybody. But you can kind of go through those individual groups, and in those individual groups of people, you can write down names of people that are unsaved. People who are unsaved that are in your life that you can pray for, and that not only will you can pray for them, but you can engage with them and build relationship with them, right? That's the list. But everyone should have an idea and kind of a target, you know, of people that you actually want to share. Now, we've been doing all this study about the Apostle Paul and Sunday school and stuff. Man, was that guy motivated to share the gospel? Was he a 10 or what? Guy was a light, yeah, 15, someone said, you know. So, but for us here, it's like, this is a kind of a simple thing. And I've actually done this before. I didn't have the name of it, but this idea, like, write down some names. Pray for those people. Reach out to those people. Love those people. And don't just do it like you're some kind of salesman or something like that, trying to get a sale done, all right? Because it's not that at all. I mean, this is like true and genuine and, you know, do that, you know. So, the next thing that they have is this idea of blessing those people. Blessing those people that are in your list. Well, what is blessing? That's another acronym here. To bless, what that stands for is begin with prayer. So pray for those people. Listen. And we could do a far better job at this, I would say, because all the times we want to talk and we don't ever listen. You know, but we need to listen to people, hear their story, get to know them. I mean, really just do it just because you want to know them. You want to build a relationship, but listen to people. Here's one that I know you guys can all do. Eat together. Eat together, you know. Have a meal with somebody. Open up, you know. It actually doesn't just have to be eating. It's just another E that could be used there is engage. Engage in some way with people, okay? Engage. Do that together, all right? Eating is good. Sharing meals is good. There's just something about that, isn't it? Then that's why we focused on that so much this last year. And then the next thing is to serve that person. To, you know, you can come alongside, you can serve, and you can do things. And then finally, it's share your story. Tell them about what God has done for you in your life, right? This whole thing, is this perfect? Can you nitpick at it? Can you find things with it? Yeah, you can. We can talk all about this. But the fact is, like, I think if we're willing to actually go and find some people and pray for people and share the gospel with them and build relationships with them and bless them in this way, we're not going to win everybody to Christ, but we might win one. We might win more than we think. And again, it's not going to be us doing it. It's going to be God doing it. So kind of another kind of foundation to what they teach there is that if you want your church to have a better evangelistic outreach, this is a hard one, then your pastor has to start with your pastor. Like, if your pastor just merely, like, tells people about that and then he doesn't do it himself, that's not going to work. And if your pastor is just merely focused on, you know, what's going on in these four walls and doesn't see like a world that's lost around us, then probably the people in the church are going to be a lot like that, right? So it's a challenge to me, and I would say not just me, but the elders also, you know, in that way, to focus on that, to remember evangelism and the work that we do. And so the pastor has to be really bought in, the elders have to buy in, and we should never ask anybody to do something that we're not doing ourselves, right? Just a couple more, like, small things from this is they talk about this idea of twofers. And for me, like, my top twofer is I go and I go down to the YMCA and I work out. But my problem is I'm so spent usually that I like to just put my AirPods in and just work out to myself and not talk to anybody down there, you know, right? But the idea is they say, like, hey, look at the things you're already doing. And think about, like, that Great Commission where it says go and make disciples, you know, and we talked about this in our Greek class. Is that go, like a command, go, like get up and leave, or is it as you go? As you're already doing what you're doing, go and make disciples. Go make disciples, Heath, down at the YMCA where you work out. You make disciples, and it doesn't mean you're going to stand up in a box and preach or whatever, but you're going to kind of do this very light work way, like you're going to get to know people. You're going to first build relationships, and you're going to tell them about Jesus, and you're going to invite them, you know, these kind of things, right? You're going to be willing to share some life with them and eat with them. And so the idea of twofers, you're already going places, you're already doing things. Just bring Christ with you and make him part of the effort there, amen? Anybody got a great idea for a twofer kind of going through your mind right now? Like, I can do both here. I hope you do. The idea, again, stay on mission, identify leaders who will help keep the church on mission. There are people that, like, they're the right ones. They're going to be like, hey, I'm gonna come alongside you, pastor. I'm going to help make sure that we as a church stay on mission, and we do that. To some degree, I think the elders would do that, and I think there could be other people that do that too. And then they say, like, if you really want to do this and you really want to stay on mission, you've got to build accountability for this into your regular meetings that you have. So you regularly are checking this, you're regularly emphasizing this. We don't have a lot of meetings here and a lot of things like that. Mostly we're doing Bible studies and those. So my idea for this is just like we have prayer requests and we do that and we pray, we need to like say like, hey, remember, this is our mission. How are we doing with our mission? What's your temperature? You know, bring those things into some of our regular meetings that we do. That's my idea. And that's kind of what I'm going to be encouraging people to do. Now, this is transition into part two, and I will try to keep this very simple because it's already really late, but you got to hear this scripture because this is the one that comes to mind for me. When I think of preach the word, love the people, this is what I think of, right? And this, we talked about some of the background of this a little bit in Sunday school, but this is from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And these are like the last things that the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy to encourage him to be the man of God, to be the pastor that God wants him to be. And then we all get that and we glean from it and we learn from it. But this is Paul and this is his charge. And this is why I said when I was speaking to you gals who are graduating high school and going to college, like I'm thinking about this in a similar way. Like he gives this charge to Timothy to do this, to live this way, to do this. And I think it's the same for you gals there as you go to college, but it's the same for any of us in how we live for Jesus. Amen? So this is what Paul wrote to Timothy. He says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead and by his appearing in his kingdom. So this charge, it's a solemn charge sometimes that's it's translated that way, but it's a call to do something for a great and a high purpose. And he's invoking the purpose is God. And he's charging him in his presence. He's here with us. He's here with us to see this and to hear this charge I'm making. And he's in the presence of God and Christ Jesus. So here, you know, I would say, I don't want to give a lot of commentary on this or whatever at this time, but another time, you have God mentioned, you have Jesus mentioned, but we believe that God is three in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So you have the Father mentioned here and the Son mentioned here in this way. But he says, in the presence of God. And then he says, God, who is going to judge the living and the dead? We're all going to give account to God, living and dead. Okay, now you could think about that living people who've already lived and died or living and dead spiritually. I actually like to think about it that way. God is going to be the judge of everyone who's alive spiritually and everybody who's dead spiritually. Everybody knows Jesus, everybody who doesn't know Jesus. And by his appearing in his kingdom, the fact that Jesus is building a kingdom and Jesus is coming back to rule and reign over his kingdom. But this is the charge that Paul gives, right? You ready for it? Not complicated. He says, preach the word. Preach the word. He's talking about the word of God. Preach the word. Not something else. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. In season and out of season. In season means at the opportune time, when it's convenient, when it's comfortable, or when it's expected. This is in season right now as I preach to you today. So one of the things that, for my own personal life, it's actually very easy to get up and preach when I'm supposed to preach. It's very easy to proclaim Jesus when I'm supposed to proclaim Jesus. But how well do I do that when it's out of season? Right? It's not the comfortable time. It's not the expected time. Am I willing to go and to do that? So he says, do it when, be ready when in season and out of season. And I think about that for us. Don't think that this is just for the pastors, right? It's this idea of this is for all of us. And so you and I, all of us, we need to be ready to share the word of God when it's expected and when it's not expected. When in season, out of season, we got to be ready to go and do that. So we have to be prepared. We have to study. We have to be ready to do that. And he says here, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. And these words sometimes could be translated different in the English, but it's like this idea, reprove is that you convict, you convince, you compel, you give evidence. You might point out the wrongdoing, but with a gentle and a kind intent, with an effort to correct a fault rather than to punish it. So trying to get people going the right way. Now, to rebuke seems a little more harsh, but it's to charge, admonish. It's a sharp expression of strong disapproval or criticism. Sometimes that's what we actually need to do, right? It's different at different times. Another time, we need to exhort. Exhort is to implore, to beseech, to give a strong encouragement to somebody, like to, hey, you got to take this course of action. This is the right way. This is what God wants you. You know, I beg of you to do this. This is so much better for you, but it's actually basically pouring out your heart to somebody to get them to go the right way, the right direction. That's exhortation. And then you got to do all this with complete patience and teaching. Patience, that could be translated long suffering. Like, it can be hard and painful for a long time, but you got to be willing to do that without cracking and just snapping and letting emotions take over, because you're continually, you're not going to give up on this person and sharing the word of God with them and presenting the word of God and trying to get them to go the right direction, that you keep doing that. And that's what you're doing. It. You're doing it with complete patience, and you're trying to teach what's in the word of God. Now he says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. So this is a reason why it's like so important to preach the word of God and not anything else, because this is already here, right? People do not tolerate sound teaching. What sound teaching is, that means teaching that's healthy, teaching that's whole, teaching that's uncorrupt, teaching that's doctrinally true, teaching that really comes from the word of God. People don't want to hear that so often, but that's what you got to keep preaching. Hey, if you want to be a man or a woman of God, you're going to have to realize some people are not going to like you. They're not going to like your message. They're going to not like what you stand for. And he's saying, you have to not be so worried about that. You got to be thicker skinned. You got to know there are things more important than whether somebody likes you or not. Because the reason why, if you're standing for Jesus and you're presenting the truth and people don't like you because of that, you're blessed. You are blessed, but people are not going to tolerate sound teaching because they're going to have itching ears or tingling ears, right? They're going to have ears that want to hear something that they want to hear, something that is pleasant to them, something that goes along with what they already want to do, right? Itching ears distort the message. Tell me what I want to hear. Is that not the world that we live in today? It perfectly is. And he's saying, because the world is like that today, all the more so, you need to preach the word of God. You need to reach people with the word of God. But he says, but as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. That's what he says there. That's the charge that he's given. He says, do this. So sober-minded, clear thinking, not influenced by drugs or alcohol, not influenced by greed, you can clearly think. You know, you don't have such fanciful thoughts, but you are clear thinking. You're sober-minded in all that you do. You can endure suffering and hardship. Life as a Christian isn't always going to be easy if you're really on mission for the Lord. You might experience rejection. You might experience various kinds of loss and pain. And he says, you have to be that way so that you can do the work of an evangelist. Right? It's what he's charging Timothy with that, but I think we're all charged with that. Do the work of an evangelist. Take the gospel out. That word evangelist comes from the Greek, euangelion, which means gospel or good news. So it sounds like a fancy word to us, like what it is, but it just really means to go take the gospel out. Okay? And then finally he says, fulfill your ministry. Each and every one of us, God has, if we're in Christ, God has called us into ministry, and he has a plan and purpose for us, and we can either fulfill it or not fulfill it. And he says, the calling is, hey, go fulfill your ministry. Do what God has called you to do here in this place and in this time with these people. Amen? Amen. And then Paul gives some personal thing here. He says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Hence, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So if you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you give your life to serving him and you want to see him come back and you want to see him rule and reign, this crown is for you too. Amen? Amen. Now, Paul, when you think about like a pastor or somebody modeling a life of evangelism, that was Paul, right? Amen. He modeled commitment to the mission. And he encourages in this part of what he's writing, and he's encouraging Timothy and he's encouraging us, finish strong. It's a lot more important how you finish than how you start. A lot of people can get off to a quick start and a strong start, but how will you finish? How will you finish the race that God has allowed you to run? And then he reminds us where our true reward comes from. Our true reward is not from being popular or rich or successful in these world standards. Our true reward is in honoring God and pleasing him. Amen? Amen. So just to close, I'm getting ready to close. You ever heard that? Look that up on YouTube. I won't. Sometimes it's what pastors say again and again, and then they don't close. They just keep repeating that. He's keep you there all day. I'm getting ready to close. I know. We're already kind of long, so here. But I do want to just kind of bring it all home with these last thoughts. These are quick. My question for you, you're here today for some reason, right? Like, you ended up here. Like, some of you, maybe you got drug here. Like, I don't know. But you're here. And you heard all the stuff that we talked about. And some of you, maybe it's like very foreign to you. Could be very foreign to you. I want to just start with this. Because this is an important question, you know, but have you believed in Christ and received him as your Lord and Savior? If you haven't, man, today is the day. I beseech you, I beg you, I offer that to you. I say Christ, he's brought you here for a reason. This is a point in your life. Man, you can let go of the pride. You can say, I can't do this on my own. I want Jesus. I want that. I want him in my life. Amen. So it's a question you should ask yourself, and I think I would hope that if you ask that and the answer is no, that today is the day to say yes to the Lord. And then if you're in Christ, you've given your life to Christ, and for some of you it was a long time ago, right? You said been a Christian a long time. How and where is God calling you to preach the word and love the people? Right? If we're a Village Missions Church and our motto is preach the word and love the people, it seems a little bit short-sighted to think that that's just what the pastors who belong to Village Missions are supposed to do. That should be the character of the whole church, right? A church that preaches the word and actually loves people and goes out and loves people. So with that being said, you know, who will be on your Francis list? Will you even take the time to do that, to write some names down, to pray for people? And then who can you turn around off that list and actually bless those people with, you know, praying for them, listening to them, engaging with them, eating with them, serving them, and sharing your story about what God has done in your life? Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here together. And I just ask your blessing on each and every one of us as we live out these things in our life. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.